They don't think we hear it, but we hear it, and we really appreciate it. So thank you, Charles, for doing that for us. And welcome to Harbor of Joy again. I'm sorry, get stuck with me again today, but I promise you, Bob, we'll be back next Sunday. It's Advent now, so we're going to sing some Advent songs today. And thank you, Ron, for filling in for the praise band. Declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, our Lord, our righteousness.
Oh, my God. a little heavier. Did you eat good? Yeah, I'm sure you all did. I did too, by the way. So good to have you here at Harbor of Joy. And I know that my wife said that, don't you say a thing that it's my birthday today. So I said, okay, I won't say anything about that. But she's back there. And oh, there's somebody else that also has a birthday, but I won't tell you who that is.
Should we sing?
I think we should sing happy birthday. It's not every time, it's on a Sunday. Make sure I won't do this, Sherry. So we'll always know when your birthday is, Carol, as well. So good to have everybody here today. Those of you that joined us by Zoom, a special welcome to you, especially those of you in Arizona, Texas, and in Florida. And if I missed a state, call me, and I'll make sure I mention that state next week. Just a few announcements here today, just to let you know that everything this week kind of goes right back to the normal way we do things. Just that next Saturday is a men's breakfast. Now, you know, guys, we had 10 there last month. The women have had up to 18, I think. Or did they have 20? Anyway, I'm a little competitive. I'd like to have more guys than there's been women. Because the women are getting together in December on the 8th at Mill Creek here in Milford. And if you'd like to go to that, please sign up just so they can tell the people ahead of time how many to prepare for. And of course, if you don't sign up, you can still go and be a part of it. It's just a good way for ladies to be together, get to know one another in a different setting as well. So the ladies are doing this in December, but our time for men is this coming Saturday at 7:30 at Perkins here in Milford. Who's planning on going? Raise your hand. Okay, look around. Okay. All right, and I'll take you home then. Okay. So we hope that can be a good time, as it always is. The good thing is you don't have to do dishes, and you can order out the menu. And I think Chuck Tilber is still paying for us, right? As we have this. Oh, Chuck, there you are. I see. Take that back. Any other events that are coming up? Just want you to know too that the Joyous Kids, they're going to have a Christmas program here on the 8th of December, and there's going to be a meal that will follow. And so we're just going to put this out there that if someone would like to bring,
I'm going to change that, sorry.
Oh, you're going to change it?
Actually, the meal is going to be before.
The meal is before?
Yes, I learned that today.
Okay.
So 5:15 before, and keep interrupting you. If I could have help with cookies, we would like to have Christmas cookies after the program.
Okay. How about this other stuff?
Well, we changed the menu.
Okay, let's see. Throw that away there. Okay. If you've got any questions on what you can bring, see Becky Rowe or Lorelai.
Sorry.
We can do.
We'll go for it, Becky Rowe.
Okay. All right. So that's on December 8th. There are 2 weeks from today. There is going to be the choir. That have been practicing on Wednesday nights. They're going to be doing their, we're going to find out what they've been practicing on Wednesday nights, because we'll do that on a Sunday morning. There is no sermon that Sunday, so that'll be good, I think. I don't have to prepare for that. So keep that in mind 2 weeks from today. It's probably a good time to invite some friends. You know?
I believe Danny and
Grandbaby.
Yeah, I need the grandbaby.
We had our second
so that her daughter's got two boys, right? With that, so. Oh, and there's an, oh, and there's Enid back there. Hey, Enid. Yes, you may.
I just want you all to know how grateful I am to be a member of Harbor of Joy. And I know you've all heard that saying of blessed be a blessing. We have many blessings here and elsewhere. But first of all, it is Timothy 2, who preaches from the Word of God. We are so blessed to have you, Tim. And Bob Floss and the praise band and all those who fill in, whether prior to the service or during the service, Karen, thank you so much. You are a blessing. And to all of you in the congregation, I just can't thank you enough for all the cards I've received, the calls, the gifts. One of the gifts had scriptures for 10 days, and I've got that posted on my little lamp, close where I sit in my little chair. It's moving around, so I have to keep sitting in it, even down. But I look at those every day, and what a blessing they are. And I'm going to be starting my second round of chemo tomorrow. And I just come up to this prayer. Most of all, I can feel it. I really, really can. And I know anybody who's ever had a problem when we have notification that we need prayers, we got them for everybody. And I'm just so grateful and blessed for the blessings you are all.
Thank you, Enid. You know, after the choir concert, I think Enid could have said that. That would have been awesome. But thank you for also a testimonial of just sensing prayer. And that's one thing you got to say about the church here, is that when you call and want prayer, or ask, if you're asking, okay, if we put on the prayer chain or in the bulletin, people do pray. You know, it's not what's called a gossip chain. It really is, hey, we take seriously the people whose names are given and what they're going through, and you're going to be prayed for. And we've done that outside of the church here, too, as well. People in the area know that Harbor of Joy is known for its prayer chain. And thanks to Pat Garrels, who is always letting us know what's going on there. Request that she sends out. And you know, it seems like Saturdays, Friday nights and Saturdays, you get a lot of calls, isn't it? But thank you for what you do. You know, Dale's getting tired of saying that, where should we go tonight to eat, so and don't answer your phone. But thank you, Pat. Let's just have a word of prayer together this morning. But before I do that, just let you know, Chuck Teelmer and Donna, they're back home. They got back yesterday. Chuck did not get his valve replaced. That's still going to be determined. He did come home with a toolbox full of other things that he's got to put on himself, or Donna puts it on him, and so he's not here today because of all that. But he's still pretty weak with things, but we're just glad that he's being prayed for, and that God has a store for him. But we don't know what's ahead ourselves, but we just pray that God's hand will be on both him and Donna these days, as well as with Elmer Lubinius and Norma as well. You know, I thought they'd probably be here today because they'd kick you out of that pew there and say, we're moving further down, we've got to make room here. It's good to have you here as well, Michelle and Allison. And I always call you Miko. Mikolai. There we go, Mikolai. Where's Ryan?
At home with Elise.
Yeah, oh, he's gone. Well, let him know that he was missed.
Well, I hear
him. Oh, that you're home, okay. If you're watching, Ryan, we know where you are. Now let's just pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Thanksgiving, getting together with family and with friends. You know, sometimes it's by ourselves. And there's just a lot to be thankful for. Thank you, Lord, for Enid's testimony here today of giving thanks for the things that she has received to read, and things in the mail, and phone calls, and just prayers of people that she senses and feels in her own life. Thank you that she's here today. As many people say, like, I haven't seen Edith for a while. And here she is today, Lord, and we're grateful for that as well. And we pray for those too, Lord, that we find in our prayer requests and bulletin today. There are many different kinds of needs, you know, broken bones and healings and cancer and sometimes, Lord, even ALS is one of those things that we know how to pray. But when we don't know, your Holy Spirit prays for us. And you know our hearts, the things that are on our hearts, even for those that we kind of sometimes feel repetitive or mundane. But Lord, you do hear our prayers. And we wait upon you and how you will answer them. Thank you for everyone that is here today, Lord. And as we prepare our hearts for Christmas, the coming of the Messiah, who we know is Jesus Christ, we're grateful that Jesus makes a big difference in our lives. And we pray today, Lord, that if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus as his or her personal Savior, that they would not put that off, that today would be that day that they'd say, I know what I need to do, and I've been saying this for many years or many months, but today is the day that I want Jesus to be in my heart. I want to live for him. And all who put their faith in Jesus will never, ever be disappointed. And so may you give that little nudge today, Holy Spirit, and whoever you nudge, may he or she respond in a positive way to that nudge. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh,
And I got a question for Oliver today because he is my grandson. And he thinks he's pretty bright. But Oliver, what does Emmanuel mean? Are you sure? You need a lifeline. You can ask your dad. God with us, that's right. That is the correct answer. God with us. Okay, Oliver, what's another name for Israel? Your dad doesn't know this one either. Another name for Israel is Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel.
Did you ever want him to come back?
I don't know what to say to that, Ron. Yeah, Ron said, don't you ever want them to come back? They're here visiting the church. I think Oliver kind of likes being asked questions from the pastor. Oh, you don't? Well, the responsive reading today comes from a prophet in the Old Testament. Oliver, what's the name of the prophet?
Isaiah.
Isaiah, very good. And it's about 600 years before Jesus is born. And this is what Isaiah the prophet says here in chapter 9. Yeah, then some. The people walking in the darkness have seen a great light.
On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned.
You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy.
They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder.
For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them.
The bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor.
Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire.
For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders.
And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government and peace will be the land.
He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever.
The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
We have a special number here this morning. Curtis Jazz is a singer. Sharon is on flute. And Karen is on the piano. And Benny, I thought you were Benny. Sorry. And they're gonna be singing, I Wander As I Wander.
Jesus, the Savior, here come for.
We just pray that you would bring this text alive to us today. And I just ask your help, Lord, as I preach this text, that it will be seen in a way and heard in a way that will just want to make us thank Jesus over and over again for being the King of Peace. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, everyone wants peace. You know, if you've seen some of the people that get interviewed on TV or somewhere along the way, they go like, okay, if there's one thing you could do, what would that be? And some go like, I wish there would be peace for the whole world. Everybody wants peace, but they want peace in their own way and on their own terms. Jesus offers peace, but not everyone wants his kind of peace. Did you hear that? Everybody wants the peace that Jesus is talking about, but not everyone wants his kind of peace. You may be here today and be one of those kind of people. We read in, I believe it's in Luke, earlier on in chapters of Luke, where it is the angels who say, peace on earth and goodwill to men. Oftentimes that gets quoted in Hallmark cards and given during Thanksgiving or sometimes during Christmas time. But, you know, it sounds good on a card, it looks good, you know, everybody agrees with it. But only Jesus can deliver what that says. Only Jesus can give us a peace that this world really, really does need. But we also know that we're the minority when it comes to offering the peace that the gospel brings. And that's really another name for the gospel. It's a gospel of peace. Only the gospel can bring peace into the life of a sinner, which we all are. And give us a peace that passes all understanding, as we heard about on Wednesday night. We find in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where we even heard it today, that Isaiah is talking about the Prince of Peace. And so even the candle that lit up here today, it will be representing, it's a candle of peace. So there's three things I want to just convey this morning on their text. The first one is that as we think of kings, they are recognized by their ride. Kings, I think of the kings of the world today, in the contemporary world of 2021 and a little bit before, what we know of kings, there are kings. We find there's kings in different countries. In our country we have presidents. But whenever we find any kind of dignitary, a really high official of some country, what do they ride in on? It's usually like a limousine. A limousine, sometimes they got little flags up on the front by the fenders flopping as they're going away. They got a police escort with the sirens and the lights going on, letting everybody know that, hey, this is an important person. And when somebody opens up the car door, it's like they can't even open up their own car door. They've got to have somebody open it up for them. And then there's a red carpet that they get out on and they walk into the room. And there's people kind of cheering and people along the streets that are all kind of maybe applauding or just curious wondering what's going on. How does Jesus come into Jerusalem? Does he come in by riding a big white stallion that's prancing and wearing a fancy uniform with a bunch of medals on it that every time the horse prances, the medals kind of make a sound, and he's carrying a big sword? Is that how Jesus comes into Jerusalem? Absolutely not. We find Jesus, we see him just as an ordinary guy. He doesn't come with any kind of fancy hoopla. But we find that it comes into Jerusalem sitting on all things, a colt of a donkey. And some people would go like, who wants to follow a guy like this? I'd rather have somebody on a big white stallion and prancing and waving a sword around and saying, down with the Roman Empire. But Jesus does not come into Jerusalem that way. And it says that he was on a colt of a donkey. You know what? That means a colt has never been ridden. Have you ever ridden on something that has never been ridden before? You're not on it for long. I mean, it's you are bucked off and you hit the ground. But Jesus, he gets on this colt that's never been ridden before. It does not buck. Now Matthew and I think it's Mark, they talk about that there was two donkeys. One was the mother of the colt. And so even if the colt was there along with the mother donkey, I mean, the colt wouldn't want to have anything on its back. Because it's not domesticated yet. And so he gets on a colt. Now, what's the significance of that? The significance is you go back to the minor prophet, Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9. Easy to remember, Zechariah 9:9. There you find where it says, see, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt. The foal of a donkey. Now this is written hundreds of years before Jesus comes onto the scene. And it's very specific, isn't it? I mean, it's not just any old donkey. It is a colt that Zechariah mentions. And here we find Jesus coming into Jerusalem just like the prophet said. Hundreds of years before. Riding on a donkey, which means you're not a conqueror, but you're gentle, and yet he is a king. Riding in, and he just kind of turns the world upside down, which Jesus does often. Of what we'd rather maybe think, how he should do it, or whatever. But he's just the opposite of how we think. And so he comes in on a donkey, and we find that his disciples, they take their cloaks, they kind of put it over this foal. They help Jesus onto this donkey, which, I mean, donkey isn't that big. I mean, you didn't really need help on it or not, but Jesus, humble guy, would let them help him on the donkey. He rides it in into Jerusalem. He comes down Mount of Olives, down into the Kidron Valley, up into the old Jerusalem part. And there's the Eastern Gate that you see in the wall. I don't know if that was there at the time or not, because I think the Turks built that, or the Ottoman Empire built that later on in history. But then people start laying down their cloaks on the road, and that's kind of where we get like palm branches, like the Palm Sunday type of a thing. And his disciples are shouting things. They make the announcement. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. That's what his disciples start to shout. Now there's always somebody in the crowd that doesn't like this. So we see that kings are recognized by the actions of the people. There are those who really wanted to witness this, and they're witnessing the fulfillment of Scripture. But the prophet said of many years ago that here comes a king riding on a donkey, a foal of a donkey, the colt. And he comes where they're calling peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The ones who are protesting this whole thing and trying to shut it down are the Pharisees, the religious teachers of the day. And they actually get close enough to be able to tell Jesus, where Jesus can hear what they're saying. And they say, teacher or rabbi, tell your disciples to shut up. Tell them to be quiet. Don't say that. They shouldn't be saying that. And what does Jesus respond with? He says, if my disciples are quiet, then the rocks are going to be shouting out the same thing that you're hearing. You're not going to like it either. So, now I know there, kids, I know your mom and dad have told you never ever use the word shut up. Okay? With each other. That's good. That's good teaching. You shouldn't say that to other people. But the Pharisees are these kinds of guys that would just say, be quiet. That's probably another word to say. Just be quiet. But I think that they're a little bit more rude than that sometimes. They didn't like Jesus. If there's ever a group of people that was a pain in his neck, it's always the Pharisees or the Sadducees. And you notice it's always the religious people that are against Jesus. It's not the ordinary common sinner. It's religious folks. That's something that we've got to be mindful of. Because that can happen in churches as well. Being religious doesn't mean you're right with God. Doesn't mean you have the peace of God living in your life either. It just means you come to church a lot. And you attend church. It's really what's in here that's what makes all the difference. Now the stones, I'm not talking about the rolling stones here. You know who the rolling stones are? Because these stones were not rolling. They were just the stones that were there sitting quietly. And they would shout if the disciples didn't tell the people what was going on here. So kings are recognized by the actions of the people. Kings are recognized by the ride. Things that they come in on as they want to be important. The last point here is kings don't cry. Typically, you don't see a king cry. You see a king very proud, full of pride, and may want to make sure that he comes across as a strong, firm leader of his country. But here we find Jesus as he approached Jerusalem and he saw the city of Jerusalem. It says in verse 41, he wept. He wept over it. Picture him riding this donkey on this colt, riding into Jerusalem, and Jesus has got tears coming down his face. He's crying. He knows what's going to take place and what's going to happen to Jerusalem and the people here. He knows that he's going to the cross. He knows he's going to be betrayed. He knows everything. Well, almost everything. He doesn't know when he's coming back again. Right, Dennis? But Jesus wept upon seeing Jerusalem. And we find that real peace is hidden from people who do not believe in him. You'll never have peace. What does the Bible say about the wicked? The wicked, there's no peace for the wicked. Without Jesus Christ, you can live a life that is like being on a boat where there's high waves and they have no anchor. And you know that the waves are going to push you whichever direction the wind is coming from. And if you don't have an anchor, guess what, my friend? You're probably going to have a shipwreck. It's a scary thing to be a part of. So if you're here today and you know you're in a boat, that's good, you're in a boat, but is your anchor in Jesus? If you don't have him as your anchor, then you don't have an anchor in life. The shortest verse in the Bible is what?
Jesus.
It's right. John 11:35. The context is that it's at Lazarus's, at his death. He's been told by Martha and Mary, Lazarus' sisters, that if he only would have came, Lazarus would still be alive. But when they took Jesus to where they buried Lazarus, in that time frame in there, it says that Jesus wept. And of course, anybody who says, that's the Bible verse I want to memorize. Jesus wept. No, that's in John 11:35. You're correct in saying that. And you're correct in saying that Jesus wept. That's the shortest Bible verse. So in conclusion, I just want to say this, is that the popular peace sign, remember what that was or is? You raise the arm, you put your two fingers up, that probably means victory as well. But the peace sign was always like this, you know, peace. That's what it kind of means. And that's the candle that is lit on the Advent wreath here today, is the peace candle. That Jesus came into this world to bring sinners, what? Peace, real peace, peace at last. Peace that lasts forever and ever. You know, it's only if you have this peace of God that you then are able to forgive others and grant them peace. You can say shalom. When you know that you've been forgiven, you can forgive others. When God has given his mercy to you, forgiving you of all your sins, then we are to be gracious to other people, be forgiving to them too. It goes along with the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Forgive the trespasses of those who trespass against us. So how many of us here have family members or friends that we need to make peace with? You probably said, well, they all left this morning. No. Because sometimes, you know, having family gatherings cannot be a peaceful thing. Sometimes it can be like, oh boy, I don't know how this day is going to go, but we'll see. Because there's not peace. And somebody can bring up a subject or a topic of something, or you go like, well, that's just Uncle so-and-so or Auntie whatever, and that's just kind of the way they are. But it just disrupts the whole thing. So everything was fine until we got into that subject. Do you have family members or do you have friends that you need to make peace with? So who are the faces that the Lord is bringing to your mind here this morning of who that is? With Christmas coming, are you looking forward to getting together with those this year, or whatever your plans may be? You know, probably for the most part, everybody is. But there's always some that go like, I don't know, we do it just so they don't feel like they're left out. But if we had it really our way, we would not invite them. Well, Jesus came, and he does come, he will come to us here this morning to give you his peace, if you want that or not. If you let him into your heart and into your life, he promises, it's his word, that I give you my peace. So let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, as you are the King of Peace, referred to by Isaiah as the Prince of Peace, We just come and we say, we need you, Lord. We need you because sometimes with Christmas coming, the real meaning gets all messed up. We can hear more about being generous and about Santa Claus and getting into buying things we don't really need or would even probably want, but giving them. And it's really all about Jesus. It's about a Savior who came for us. And there is a day we call Christmas. It's Merry Christmas. It's not Happy Holidays. It's really Merry Christmas. As you take Christ out of the Word, you just have Mass or Mass. Help us, Lord, to keep Christ in Christmas. Help us to be thinking about the peace that Jesus Christ came to give and will give to anyone who will humble himself or herself and say, Lord, I know I got a type A personality, but it's really hard for me to just relax and unwind and to be able to sit still and to say, Lord, okay, I'll do it your way, but I know I can't do it, so come into my life with the peace that we're hearing about today. I need a peace that will last, not something that's temporary, but one that will last. A peace where I can say that things are right with my soul, that I'm right with God, that I know that I'm forgiven of my sins. That wonderful peace that only comes from you. And so, Lord, you know the heart of every person that's here today, young, in between, and old. May it be your peace that we leave with today and we take with us for the days ahead. That is found in Jesus Christ. So let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you. And may he give you what?
Peace.
His peace. Amen. There you go.
Sharon and I made an executive decision. We're not singing What You've Got in the Bulletin. We're singing Rejoice, Rejoice, Believers.